Welcome to Truth Quest with Melody on KHENLP 106.9 Salida. And this evening I've got three guests, and we're going to be talking about some voting issues, and I hope everybody's there. I've got Lisa Syriax, Marilyn Marks, and Teresa Benz, and I'm going to say we're streamed on the internet at khen.org, and TruthQuest programs are archived at www.gimmesometruth.info. And I'm going to let each one of the ladies that are joining me tell a little bit about themselves, but I'm going to say the views expressed on this program are those of myself and are my guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the KHEN staff, volunteers, or board of directors. Now, do I have Lisa?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, and Marilyn?
Yes.
Okay, and Teresa?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, great. Great. So I will go ahead and Teresa, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, and then we'll let Lisa and then Marilyn. So go ahead and start out.
My name's Teresa Benz. I write for the Center Post Dispatch. It's a publication put out by Valley Publishing in Monta Vista. I've been writing on various issues for the last 30 years, and written for several newspapers. I've been most recently writing on Sawatch election issues, and I think that's the subject of our discussion tonight. So,
okay, Lisa?
I'm Lisa Syriax. I'm a resident of Sawatch County. I was involved in the election as a canvas board, and it was due to the work of the canvas board in reviewing the election that we identified some of the problems which have led to three court cases being filed, including an investigation by a statewide grand jury. And I've learned a lot about elections, and I think it's really an important issue for the citizens of the state of Colorado, not just Sawatch County, to know what's happening with elections in our state and what might be possible remedies.
Okay, Marilyn?
Yes, my name is Marilyn Marks. I'm a resident of Aspen, but I'm talking to you tonight from Atlanta. I had my business career here in Atlanta and retired as a CEO. And then moved to Aspen. I got really interested in elections in 2009, and when we had a really unusual election in Aspen, and then the Sawatch election integrity problem really grabbed my attention back in November when Teresa called me out of the blue. And my interest in this really comes from a human rights perspective. For people who believe that self-governance is an inalienable human right, if we cannot verify our elections, if we have to just trust the government to tell us who got elected, then we have lost a basic human right. And that's the way I view my work as an advocate for election quality.
Okay, who wants to go ahead and start off with the issues? Do you want to start off, Teresa, or Lisa?
I'll hand it off to Lisa, but before I do that, I got to tell you, Marilyn, you called me. I didn't call you.
Oh, okay. You know, I guess it was an email. That's right, from Al Cohen. Sorry about that. But we've had so many conversations.
I know, okay. Right? But then, okay.
Now we have.
Okay, Lisa.
Okay, well, I'll start with an overview of where this all started. In the November 2nd, 2010 election, people went home thinking that the two Republican candidates for county clerk and for county commissioner in Sawatch County had won the election. 2 days later, we were notified by the clerk's office that she had determined an error in the tabulation using the new voting machine, which had recently been purchased by Sawatch County. It's a machine that was manufactured by Diebold, which is now known as ES&S. It was a used machine purchased with Help America Vote Act funds. And based on that, she was going to be conducting a retabulation. She did that on November 5th, and everybody left. At that point, after they did the retabulation, knowing it overturned those two races and favored them, put them in favor of the incumbent county clerk, who is a Democrat, and the incumbent county commissioner, who is also a Democrat. So this raised the level of concern among the citizens of Sawatch County, and also the importance of reviewing the election to make sure there were no irregularities. The canvas board, and through the course of their work, including a recount of the ambulance district and both of those races, made the decision not to issue a statement of certification, which led to some legal problems and identified some gaps in the statutes and in the laws, because there's no provision when the canvas board issues a statement of non-certification for how do you determine who won the election and who certifies the election.
Well, don't you?
So all of this has caused us to embark upon this course of looking for legal solutions or legal opinions.
Well, the two races that seem to be in question with Linda Joseph and Mrs. Myers, I'm trying to think of her first name right now. It just left my mind.
Melinda Myers.
Melinda Myers. Melinda Myers, right? Is it?
Right.
Okay. The one question that I find that just seems so glaring to me is you have the county clerk certifying or being in charge of her own election, right?
Well, ostensibly there was one of her staff who was the election official.
But why is she the one speaking for everything? You're not hearing this other person talk, and you in all the articles you're hearing her being the one that's being approached on this. So I find that to be highly irregular. And a terrible conflict of interest as far as I'm concerned. But you know, I mean, I'll let you guys carry on. But that thing just jumped right out at me. So, okay, go ahead, Lisa.
So, well, I mean, it should jump out at you, and that was one of the concerns, you know, that here an election, you know, that she was part of, she was the one who announced the retabulation, and yet she claims that she had no part in uncovering this. But, you know, one of the things we've uncovered through the open records requests that we've made and the emails that we've had access to is she was very involved behind the scenes in this election. And you know, it is part of a big concern for the people who are questioning whether or not their votes were accurately counted.
I mean, another aspect that I see that seems to come out of this whole process is the fact that when you have an election that has discrepancies or flips or so very close, it shouldn't even be a question as whether it's recounted or not. And if they come up with opposing tabulations, then a third one shouldn't even be a question. And I don't know, every time I'm seeing this take place, they go through this wrestling, what is going on with our voting process that this sort of thing takes place? So go ahead.
Whoever. Well, I think part of the answer to that is, you know, the Secretary of State, in response to complaints that were filed with his office by the Canvas Board and by other members of the public, and even by at least one of the candidates that I know of, you know, he agreed to conduct a hand review of the election and determine what really happened, even though he didn't have the authority to change the outcome of the election. And at this point, he is now suing Clerk Myers in Sawatch County because she's denied him access to the ballots and to the election records. Primarily, according to her testimony in court, based on the fact she doesn't want the public and the outsiders to know what's on those ballots. And she's claiming that she's protecting the secrecy of the people in Sawatch County and their vote.
You know, another thing that kind of cropped up going through the many articles that you guys have written and pursued in this endeavor, because I mean, this should be happening on all over the country in every county and voting area, because I'm after my work in researching what Bev Harris's, her group, Black Box Voting, has done, it has pretty made it pretty well, has made it pretty obvious that this process that took place in Sawatch has happened all over the country, and that it isn't just one way that elections are thrown. They're thrown in every possible means that has been and ever has been done. And so, if, you know, I really have to commend you ladies for, you know, stepping up and really, you know, making it known that, you know, that you've got these improprieties going on. So,
Melody, this is Marilyn, and I would say that just as concerning as the improprieties are the extreme number of human errors. Probably just as many elections get affected by, maybe more, get affected by the complexity and let's call it carelessness, everything from carelessness to negligence to lack of training. And it has the same impact as someone purposely throwing an election.
Right, but then when you have the process of being able to try to, you know, correct it or go back through and recount the votes, you find that you're having to fight new battles to get there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is why I have brought a court case that is now in front of the Court of Appeals awaiting a decision. I brought it in Aspen a couple of years ago. And the Secretary of State just announced that he felt that the advocates for transparency, would win the case. And this becomes a partial solution to what you have raised, Melody, and that is if the citizens can verify the election themselves by looking at the ballots, counting the ballots, then that is going to bring a whole new level of accountability to the elections, which should have been there all along.
Well, one of the other aspects that I noticed in these articles was the fact that these people were objecting to the fact that people would have access to who voted for what. And I'm going, how does that happen if these ballots don't have your name on them? They only have names on the envelopes. Where does that process come in? Am I missing something here?
You are not missing anything, but there are a number of people, particularly clerks, who like to try to use that emotional argument to scare people and say, oh, we've always had a guarantee of a secret ballot. Absolutely not. Ballots are anonymous, as you point out. They are not secret. And as we keep reminding people, the ballot is guaranteed that you can vote it in private, that it must be counted in public. And if it's going to be counted in public, it obviously cannot be traced back to the voter. But that is an excuse that until people think through it, they easily adopt that excuse of, oh my, it's a secret ballot, therefore no one can look at it. Well, that is actually the worst possible outcome, because citizens must be able to recount their ballots and verify the elections.
Well, you know, I have my question on secret ballots comes into the fact when you do these mail-in ballots, they're not secret at all.
They're really not. And I had an experience. I served as an election judge on our Aspen May election this past month. And I went through probably about 500 mail-in ballots. And I began to realize you actually have to work hard not to look at who has voted how. I mean, you've got to work to make sure that you are not looking when you take that ballot out of the envelope. You're very right. Mail-in ballots have a high risk level if you don't have judges who are working to make sure that they remain anonymous.
Another aspect of this election that I found very interesting is, it's in all elections. I mean, the point that the election process has gotten to be so outrageously expensive, particularly the higher up the ladder you go. But then when you have somebody, you know, I mean, there's a lot of room for things to be messed with when you have some sizable salaries that can be involved in this, particularly if you're involved in the voting process. And this comes out particularly in your clerk's race. Anybody?
Lisa, do you have a comment?
I'm trying to gather my thoughts. Go ahead, Teresa or Marilyn.
Oh, well, I just think you're very right, Melody, that it's money and power, I think, that the salaries, the authority level, the power level of some of these offices just become so attractive. And it is easy for people working in campaigns to begin to feel that the end justifies the means. And it's easy, I think, for people to justify taking some shortcuts or maybe helping somebody vote who wasn't really authorized to vote or eligible to vote. It's just, it gets to be very tempting. And the more complex and non-transparent the election is, the easier it is for those kinds of things to happen. But I don't know what the solution to that is, Melody. I don't know that I want to see elected officials paid less or have less authority. I want them to have more accountability and the elections to have far more transparency.
Right, but there definitely needs to be a remedy for when the person is involved in their own election process, and that even if they do have somebody in the background, then that person should have been the spokesperson throughout this whole process, because
in this case, that young man was only 20 years old, and it really, I think if it's who Lisa was thinking of, I mean, he really does not have the kind of experience to be calling the shots. Really, at the end of the day, while Clerk Myers had administrative people doing some of the work, she was making the decisions.
Well, I believe if I was viewing a video on the web over something that was a meeting between her and her this young man, that was kind of a questionable interview. Even though you didn't get to hear the sound, just the process of somebody wiping their eyes and wondering what's going on here. He's only 20 years old. He really needed to have an advocate in there.
Absolutely. And that is part of the function of the Canvas Board. And I think Lisa can speak to this better than anyone, but the Canvas Board actually has quite a lot of authority and responsibility. Some of it's a little unclear, but unfortunately in this case, Clerk Myers did not pull together the Canvas Board until really just shortly before the absolute deadline for certification, when they were supposed to have been appointed a couple of weeks before the election. And the Canvas Board were to be advocates for the citizens, but unfortunately they were not given enough information nor enough time to be able to certify the election. And then what happened is when they were unable to certify the election, what's the real concern, Melody, is that Clerk Myers then certified her own election, defying the Canvas Board, and she certified the other questionable contest and just defied all of the rules, and unfortunately there has not been any accountability yet for that action.
Okay, now
this is Lisa, you know, uh-huh. To your earlier question, I mean, that's partly how you build accountability is, you know, citizens have various opportunities to engage in elections and provide some of that oversight. And, you know, by their very presence and what they witness, if they understand the role that they're taking, whether it's an election judge, whether it's a counting judge, whether they're as observers for a particular issue or a particular candidate, you know, whether they're there as members of the Canvas Board, you know, and my experience in serving on this Canvas Board in Sawatch County, which is the first time I've served on a Canvas Board, I mean, we received criticism from both the Clerk Myers and from the Secretary of State's office for overstepping our boundary over and over again, when all we were trying to do was get the information clear. And it was actually because of the questions that we asked and our attempts to validate the election or verify what was happening with the election or determine, you know, verify the ballots and fulfill the role that we thought we had under statute, which isn't clearly defined in statute, you know, that we were able to uncover many of these procedural violations, these legal violations, you know, and essentially the failure of the clerk to fulfill her responsibilities to the electors in Swatch County.
Now, what is a canvas board?
I'm sorry, what?
What is this board? This is new to me that you were on.
Well, in every election, I mean, even in special district elections or municipal elections, there are citizens who are pulled forward, as Marilyn said, who represent the citizens of Swatch County and look out for their interest. And their role is to go through and essentially determine that there were not more votes counted than there were votes cast in the election, and to determine that there were not more votes counted than there are registered electors in the election. And, you know, their tasks are not specifically spelled out, but it's essentially sort of an audit function to determine that there's no improprieties, at least, you know, in that overt sense. You know, I mean, if you have 2,000 registered electors and you count 2,500 votes, obviously there's something going on there.
Okay, now who picks?
Melody, uh-huh. There was a real opportunity missed here with the canvas board on the day of the canvas. They were delivered by Teresa. They were delivered a complaint that had a lot of questions in it. And their role under the law, they are supposed to investigate that complaint. Unfortunately, Clerk Myers told them that they were not allowed to investigate that complaint. The Secretary of State backed her up. And the Secretary of State has now acknowledged it was the duty of the canvas board. They got that wrong. And somehow that complaint never got investigated. Had Lisa and her peers been able to investigate, then it probably could have stopped this problem in its tracks.
Now, one of the
Go ahead.
What I was going to say, one of the things that I think that a lot of people don't understand is there are statutes for just about anything the government does. Now, whether they follow them or not and just use policy is another matter. But a lot of times I've found that the bureaucrats that are involved don't often know these statutes, and they just go on policy. And people, when they ask questions, just take them as at their word, and often you may be able to call them on it if you bother to look at some of these statutes that come under the election process. You know, even though they may change periodically, you have that to reference. And did you guys run into this at all in your situation?
Let me address that. It's a real sticking point with me. You know, statutes are written to be enforced. At least that is my assumption, that they wouldn't, you know, put out huge thick books of statutes if they weren't written to be enforced. However, you know, it appears that at least, you know, in Swatch County, and I've heard in other counties, it's not just here, you can cite them, you can point them out to people. That does not mean that they are going to be enforced. There were numerous statutes and rules which have the same weight as statutes violated in this election, and the end result is that the only way they care to enforce these statutes is to make sure that people have more training. Now, if I were to violate the statute that says I cannot be disorderly in a public place, I am positive that I would receive a summons for that and be held accountable for violating that statute. Now, why that is the case, and these people who are running elections, who are elected officials, who are serving supposedly the public, why they are allowed to violate numerous statutes without, you know, suffering any consequences, I don't know. I have some pretty good guesses, but I would like somebody to explain that one to me. I think it's really more egregious to violate all the statutes that so very much injure our election process than it is for me to be disorderly in public.
Right. Now, who did you guys engage Beverly Bev Harris, right, with black box voting during this process?
Engaged her in terms of engaged her in conversation. Yes,
right.
She's somewhat familiar with this. Yes.
Okay, and
she's always a great advisor.
Okay. And did any of you? I mean, I know you were busy with your own process, but one of the things that I did get to view back during previous elections, watching some of the complaints that came through with various communities, is that you know, Sawatch is not alone. I mean, I find it all over the place, my county included, that there are, you know, whether you could call them mistakes or improprieties or what, sometimes these things, you know, once something gets set in motion, it seems to take its own life and become the process and not necessarily a correct one. And one of the things that I've found that to throw, you know, confusion into the whole election process is how they keep changing machines now and software instead of, it's kind of like, you know, having to get used to a new car. If you keep buying new cars instead of knowing, you know, how the car acts and how to deal with it when problems arise. Anybody run into this in this process?
Oh, absolutely. And this was in a supposedly new machine bought for $54,000. It's 1980s technology that has a really, really bad reputation. It has been decertified in several states. It was decertified in Colorado and only recertified with a huge list of very strict conditions under which it could be run in order to mitigate many of the security problems. And unfortunately, Clerk Myers never bothered to read the conditions required for its use. And in fact, we were so far out of compliance in Sawatch County that it was prohibited, the law prohibited using the machine. But she used it anyway and in totally bypassed hand counts. Just to your point that the machinery now, the programs are so complex that it really does blindfold citizens and canvas boards and make them unable to really verify the election.
And if I'm correct.
But you're right.
No, I was going to say, if I'm correct, and this is, okay, this is just going from memory at this point, but, you know, don't take my word for it. I mean, this is where the black box voting provides ample information to go back and view the history of these people designing the software, where they come from, how this whole process has gone about. And if I'm not mistaken, these software companies have been buying each other out. They're now consolidating, but they originally started out with people that were brought out of prison designing these programs. And there was some highly irregular people that should never have even been in the process who are now running our national elections. So.
Unfortunately, that is right, Melody, and we've just had an interesting experience that's not finished yet in Sawatch County in that ES&S, which is by far the largest vendor, has about 5,000 machines installed in Colorado and has over a 50% market share because of those consolidations. We were supposed to take their deposition, and they refused to honor the Sawatch court's subpoena for their deposition, and they didn't show up. And they feel that they have so much power that they don't even have to honor a subpoena from a Colorado court. And so we're finding that out. But they did not, what does that tell you? They did not want to testify in this case to talk about how their machine performed.
Well, my understanding, too, was a few years back that the whole state got involved in buying these it's been a while since I've looked at that.
Heart Intercivic.
Right. And now did they change the machines or did they just change their name? Are you familiar with that?
No, I don't. I think that Heart is fairly stable right now in terms of what they're offering, their product offering. But you may be thinking of ES&S,
they were. My understanding was they were Heart Intercivic machines that were replacing.
No.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
I'll have to go back and refresh my
memory. I think you're thinking of Premier and ESNF.
No, now I know what you're talking about, but that's okay. At this point in time, that didn't really enter into your process as much as the people involved, right?
Well, we haven't gotten there, Melody. Actually, there are a lot of questions that has not been answered about the machine, and that's what we're trying to get at, and it has just not been addressed. For example, and Lisa became very aware of this, and Teresa has written an article on it, the audit log, the system log, the automated, let's call it timestamp activity log, created by the laptop, the tabulation system. It times, has these big gaps. It times, runs backwards. The clock jumps backwards in time. That's highly irregular. And actually is a sign of, it's a sign of system manipulation. We do not have any answers on this yet.
There is so much stories involved with the process of getting some of these machines. Some of these machines were coming in with already votes on them. There were machines where they were coming in and taking the memory out during the process of voting. And there are other aspects that have take place that opening the box. I mean, just about any way that has been done in the past, that Bev Harris and her research groups had gone out during the elections and uncovered these things. So you guys have just, added to the stories here, and I just hope that more comes of it. But Teresa, you had some information that took place today that applies to this, right? Or do you want to wait on that?
Well, I think it's probably been burning down the phone lines for the past several hours, but the grand jury report was released on Sawatch County elections today, and there were no indictments.
So, everything stays is the same. And so this is just, goes on and they placate everybody acting like they're doing something and nothing really happens. Not that, there weren't people with a good intent involved, right?
Right. And Melody, I think.
Go ahead. Whoever.
Well, this is Lisa. I spent a little time reading the report, and it's, for one thing, elections are complex things. And another thing, anytime you involve a jury, it's not necessarily their purview to understand or interpret the law. It's for them to, in a grand jury, they did an investigation. And, looking at the report, I can see several shortcomings. On the other hand, I think I can get an understanding of what they were thinking. Uh-huh. And so in summary, they did document that Clerk Myers admitted her failure to comply with the requirements of the statutes. That in multiple instances, she acknowledged it was her responsibility, but she failed to fulfill it. And so she basically threw herself on the mercy of the grand juries. And reading between the lines, it looks like they didn't recommend any kind of prosecution or indictments, mainly based that on the presumption that there would be no change in the outcome of the election based on any of the actions that Clerk Myers failed to implement the statutes. And so, therefore, it didn't matter. And I think that's a common interpretation. People always say, if it didn't change the outcome, what difference does it make? You're back to Teresa's comment about the ends justify the means.
Okay, now, but wait a minute. If the election was one way before she recounted, how did that not have an outcome?
They didn't investigate that. They did not investigate.
Well, this is where they may as well just stayed in bed and never got up and did the jury. I'm sorry.
So, a couple of other reasons they talk about the involvement of ES&S and the SOS and the advice that they gave the clerk was a mitigating factor against them recommending criminal charges for the violations. And they do document
because they gave bad advice.
Well, and they they document extensively where the Secretary of State did give bad advice, where ES&S wasn't qualified to give advice. But, you know, it still doesn't, in my mind, absolve Clerk Myers from her responsibility. I mean, she took an oath of office to uphold the election code. And it's her responsibility to know that code and to implement it. And she's basically passing the buck back to the Secretary of State and to ES&S and saying, well, I followed their advice and it turned out to be bad advice. But it's her responsibility.
Okay, now
so
this
basically allowing her to abdicate her responsibility. And the third reason that I read was what you referenced earlier, Melody, is that other counties have had these problems and it hasn't resulted in, you know, any kind of legal action against the clerks in those counties, which essentially means we've met the lowest standards and the lower standards are an acceptable norm.
Okay, this reminds me of...
It's not good enough. It's not good enough.
Right. Well, this reminds me of our bankers right now, you know? I mean, they stay in office when they supposedly fail. No, usually what happens in a business or whatever, if somebody makes this kind of error, do you think they're going to keep their job and we keep them in office? Something doesn't, you know, there's just something wrong here. And that's where I'm saying, you know, if there's, and the Secretary of State to come in, Aaron, and they don't do anything. It's just like it's a good old boys club. I mean, and I don't know the Secretary of State. I'm just saying our accountability process is broken, and it's broken not only in our, you know, our local elections, it's all the way up the ladder.
Well, and that's exactly it. In this instance, you know, the clerk was an incumbent. She's been in office for 4 years, and she's abdicating her responsibility for knowing the election code after running 7 elections in the course of those 4 years. And she doesn't even feel enough responsibility. I mean, I agree with you. She should resign.
Right.
Well, and I'm gonna say this. You know, to me, this is and I kind of lost my train of thought. But going on what Lisa just said, you know, there's so much that could be pointed to as far as, you know, what Clerk Myers was required to know, required to do, and did not do, either through just simply not doing it or by delegating it to someone else who wasn't properly trained. I mean, you can't go back and fix these things. You can't go back and do, you know, anything that's going to restore the people's confidence in how these things are run. So, you know, by not resolving this, you know, with the grand jury, now I suppose it falls, you know, the only other person it could fall on is the Secretary of State. Now, whether that's going anywhere or not, you know, I have my serious doubts. I mean, everybody thought the grand jury was going to take care of it. And even though we, you know, all had our grave reservations that was the case, you know, then, you know, another people thought the SOS would take care of it. Well, now, you know, the SOS does have an opportunity to address some of these things, I think. And if they don't, I assume that, you know, nothing constructive is going to be done to increase the level of accountability from these people. I can't help it. That's just how I see it.
Well, I find really
interesting. Teresa, I think it's up to us.
Right.
I think it's up to the citizens, and that we can't really rely on big government. And it's clear from the grand jury report, and I'm sure that they were very well-meaning citizens who were working very hard at the information that was presented to them. But as we see, there was a lot of misinformation there. They clearly didn't have access to a lot of information, or they would not have reached some of the conclusions that they did. And we, the citizens, you know, are much closer to it than any agency can be. And I think it is incumbent on us to step in and to demonstrate the problem and bring it to the attention of the people who can vote our officials in or out.
Do you guys
Well, I agree 100%, Marilyn, but the problem, I'm not blaming the grand jurors for anything. They can only go on what they're presented. That has nothing to do with it. I'm saying if our government wants us to have faith in them or wants to kind of make up for some of the mistakes they may have made, they have to take responsibility for that and take steps accordingly. I know that it's up to the citizens and that that's the only place that it can go from here.
You know, I have to agree it is up to the citizens, and I don't, but it's getting to the point with the sort of things that I investigate on a much broader scale that it isn't by mistake. These mistakes, once they start, they keep repeating over and over again, and it becomes policy. And
Well, as Lisa said, we adopt a really low standard, and
right.
every time we let another one of these go, it just lowers the standard that's acceptable that much more.
Right. So, where would we like to go with this? Is there any more? Is there more information involved in this that we should know about?
Well, I would say that I think it would be helpful if people read the grand jury report, which is now on the Attorney General's website, and if you read it carefully, you begin to see that they indeed, they didn't say there was no wrongdoing. They acknowledged that there were many violations. And I think it would be helpful for people to take that and to go to the Secretary of State, which is supposed to be opening further investigations now into this, and say, hey, look, we want you to use that grand jury report as the beginning point. And now go find out what really happened. Because the grand jury report is based on, it's very clear as you read it, it's based on a lot of testimony and hearsay. They don't have to use the same rules as a court using real evidence. So now is the time to have evidence come in as opposed to the hearsay that they had.
But when you guys were, putting these instances of where the problems arose, did they pay attention to those, or did they get thrown out? What I mean, I was seeing a lot of excuses and of them changing their mind one way or the other. It was okay that you could change the election because of a problem, but when it meant that it was going to change it back possibly, then all of a sudden that wasn't acceptable now, right? Or did I make it clear or not?
Well, I think, Melody, that what happened is that nobody knows because they have just not done the work. You'll notice in the report, they never say anything about anybody doing a real review of the ballots. That in taking the grand jury, the investigators, and not yet the SOS, no one has taken those ballots and tried to recount them. And when the Canvas Board did as part of their recount, they were not allowed to do a full accounting. And they got completely different numbers than the original Canvas had gotten. However, they weren't allowed to do anything with those differences. So, when you're saying that, well, maybe there was this explanation and then it was swept aside, there has not been a real explanation yet of what really happened here.
Well, quite often in some of the articles, they were saying, well, everything was overblown. I mean, I've heard that excuse so many times throughout my life when somebody doesn't want to own up to the problems that are there. They just, oh, you're overblown. You have no reason to complain. But often, if it was in reverse, it would be a different story. So,
well, my question is, why didn't they do a forensic audit? Why didn't someone suggest this be done? This would have resolved a lot of things.
Right.
And I don't know why, that it was never brought into the picture. That to me is the most sensible thing they could have done.
And I've often
it
seen.
It really is, Teresa. Mm-hmm.
And then there's the times when they're close elections and they want to put it on the proof on the person that lost and make them pay for that extra process, which should not be the case. I mean.
Well, and in this case, they fault the Canvas Board for not taking this to district court. you know, and asking, you know, basically contesting the outcome of the election.
And who appoints the Canvas board, or where do they come from? How does that it kind of?
Well, they're typically appointed by the party chairs, the Democratic and the Republican Party chairs, is the only two parties apparently that are recognized.
That's great.
I mean, in this instance,
you know, unfortunately by statute.
Yes, it is by statute.
Interesting.
The two major parties. But in this case, there were additional Canvas board members appointed at the request of special districts or school districts, or in my case, the library district, which had questions on the ballot.
Okay. Now, do you guys have exit polls?
No.
I've never conducted one. I will in the future, I think.
Well, I ran into the problem that nobody was into doing it in my area. I wasn't getting any kind of traction on that one, and I would have figured, you know, because of some past elections that, you know, that it might have been to their advantage, but it was like, no, why would we want to do that, you know?
Melody, if we can win the right, actually we already have the right, but if we can make sure we can exercise the right to count the ballots as citizens, see the ballots and count them, then that's better than any exit polling we'll ever get. So that's why there's a lot of pressure on right now to make sure that in Colorado, as in say Florida, that the ballots are open for the public to verify. If we can do that, imagine if we had been able to do that 2 or 3 days after this election, it would have solved so many problems.
Well, I'm aware of numerous instances where these ballot boxes kind of go from one location to the next, and there's not the proper escort. You know,
And
one report had I think it was even the polling place that I'm in, and I'm a resident of Sawatch County. One report was that a judge was not allowed to deliver the ballot box to the courthouse. That someone came and picked it up, and she protested, and they picked it up anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's where more training is going to be helpful for the judges and the citizens. That when things like that happen, that they know their rights, their roles, their authority so well that they just say, no, you will not take that ballot box.
Well, I've often heard it didn't matter what the mistake or whatever it was that took place. Oh, it wouldn't have changed the outcome. Well, you know what? If we started forcing them to have to do a recount anyways when those things take place, they might not make those errors as much.
Well, it sort of seems like
we don't know. We don't actually know whether or not it would have changed the outcome. There has not been enough work done. And in fact, we do believe, based on some additional work that we've done, we do believe that the ambulance tax question that was on the ballot that supposedly won by one vote, it appears that actually lost. We've got a little more work we got to do on that. But, you know, this theory that, oh, well, it didn't change the outcome, so it doesn't matter, that's sort of like saying, you know, someone was driving drunk and they didn't kill anyone, so it doesn't really matter that they were driving drunk.
And which would never be acceptable in a court of law on that one. So
Right.
So as far as... where are you guys going to go from here now that this has taken place?
Well, I mean, there's still lots of things. You know, the Secretary of State's lawsuit against the clerk is still under review by the judge. In fact, they're issuing final briefs today. It'll be 2 weeks before we get an opinion. As Marilyn said, you know, there's opportunities here to continue to produce evidence, which if he wins his court case and is successful in conducting a hand review, many things might come to light, you know, that could become evidence. It's not an impossibility to reopen this whole question and have it looked at again.
And
right. Go ahead.
My only question is what's in, why would he care?
I mean, why would the Secretary of State care?
Yeah, I'm just not impressed with too many of the politicians anymore in these positions. They just seem to me like when they're in these positions, they just rubber stamp whatever happened. And they might raise a little bit of controversy in the process. But when it all comes out in the wash, nothing changes. So it's just a question. I don't know the Secretary of State. He's new to me because, I'm not familiar.
Scott Gessler is the new Secretary of State.
Okay.
And he was elected in November. All of this happened actually under Bernie Bisher's watch.
Okay.
I say all of it. The election happened under Bernie Bisher's watch, and Scott came into office in January. Why would he care? Well, he did run on a platform of higher election integrity, but let's say that we do win the right, we the citizens win the right, which we think we're going to inspect ballots in all elections. I would think that this Secretary of State coming into office would not want us to go in, review the Sawatch election, and prove that we found the errors and they never bothered to. So I think that it is incumbent on him to show that his office is going to be diligent and we'll get to the bottom of this. And that's another thing that we're doing. Lisa didn't mention that one yet, is that there are a number of complaints that have not even been opened. The investigation has not yet been opened by the Secretary of State's office. Citizens still have the opportunity to file complaints for up to a year after the election.
Now, do these complaints pertain to this instance, or are they to other elections?
No, it's to the Sawatch.
Okay. Okay.
And you might want to describe the process.
Well, I don't know if I know the process, but I think the other thing to add is, this grand jury report cites the Secretary of State's office in numerous instances of their failure, to provide good advice to the clerk, their failure to follow through, their failure to provide oversight. I think the message Scott Gessler is getting from the citizens of Sawatch County is we're not going to go away. So the next election, he's promised to provide better oversight, to provide better training going into the election process. And if we still encounter these same problems, he full well expects that he's going to hear from us again, and he's going to have to answer for that. As far as the complaint process, there's two levels of complaints. You can file a complaint under the Colorado statutes, or you can file complaints under the Help America Vote Act. The complaints that are under statute were filed by the Canvas Board and individual citizens of Sawatch County. And as Marilyn says, they haven't opened the investigation per the request of the state attorney general's office. And that's sort of unfortunate because I think actually it could have informed the grand jury more completely of what actually happened in the election rather than relying, as Marilyn said, on hearsay and just testimony from various people.
Are you guys aware of any other elections in this state or others that have gone through this sort of process and gotten anywhere, had any success?
Well, I know other counties have had different audits, different reviews by the Secretary of State. Typically, it does result in the issuance of a report. As far as whether or not it actually affected the change, it's hard to say. I mean, many times it probably is more because if a clerk has been found at fault, they'd rather resign than subject themselves to further scrutiny by their peers and by the public that they serve.
But are they resigning? Have you heard of any resigning?
Not recently.
Okay.
Well, Melody, one optimistic story here, going back to your voting machines issue, is the citizens of South Carolina decided to take it on themselves because the Secretary of State and the Board of Elections and the parties would not. The citizens decided to take it on themselves to do an investigation of the paperless you know, direct, or the touchscreen machines. And when they did, they have found so many thousands of votes that were either not recorded or recorded improperly that they are having success in that the South Carolina legislature has gotten very close now to ordering an overhaul of the entire election system there. Now, it's not a done deal yet, but they have certainly gotten it to the right level of attention, and it sounds like the money's going to be budgeted. So it was, they didn't give up.
Okay, well, let me go ahead and say this is KHENLP 106.9 Salida, and I have Lisa Syriax, Marilyn Marks, and Teresa Benz, and they are here talking about the last Sawatch County election where it was overturned and that there was problems, and they're just taking it to trying to get it corrected, and I'm certainly hoping that somewhere along the lines we have something to say that that good has come out of this. But for me, it's just the fact that you guys are standing up and saying and speaking out. That's a huge step as far as I'm concerned, because I've watched numerous other instances where others could have done the same thing and didn't. And
you know, Melody, I forgot to tell you the good news story from my own hometown of Aspen.
Okay.
Two years ago, we had a completely off the rails, uncertifiable, non-transparent election. And we made enough noise about it so that this past year, I mean, not this past year, but last month, when we had our election, they hired an expert consultant who essentially ran the election along with the city clerk. The processes that the election commission put in changed remarkably. And we had a very, very, very high quality, verifiable, transparent election. And it came because of just raising sand to no end 2 years before. So yeah, sometimes it does work out.
Okay, now what happened in your instance then, when you ran?
Well, when I ran under a really crazy system that was instant runoff voting, that the machines were not certified, they were not tested, all from the very beginning, many of us questioned the lack of transparency. That it's a very complicated mathematical equation as to how you select the winner. There was no way to test the computer program. Long story short, it was complex. I lost by, you know, well, I don't know, 120 votes or something. I never really thought that I won. That was never the point. The point was that nobody could tell who won or lost for sure, because there was no transparency, and there was a total shutdown of information for those trying to get it. And that's really what got me interested in transparent elections. And it was merely citizens just continuing to raise sand, and we repealed that form of voting. And it caused a high degree of sensitivity for this last election, and people were volunteering right and left to be election judges.
Okay, now,
you know, and I think that's what happened in Sawatch.
Okay, now what did you do different this time around that was different from when you ran?
Oh, well, first of all, we didn't have that crazy form of voting. Secondly, we hired an expert manager who really understood the law and made sure we followed every aspect of the law. We had bipartisan this time election judges worked to recruit them. They had far more training than they had had in the past. The machines were tested far more thoroughly than they ever were. And we had post-election audit that we had never had before. And so we just added a lot of controls and a lot of citizen oversight. We still didn't get to the point of being able to have the citizens review the voted ballots, but we're getting there. But yeah, it was a combination of more citizen oversight, managerial oversight from the government using a real expert, and then much more testing of the machines. So it was a combination of things.
Where does this expert come from?
Actually, he came from Pitkin County. He is the election manager, fairly new, of Pitkin County, and he has long background in practicing law, and he moved back home to Pitkin County and recruited as the election manager. So having a great deal of legal experience, as well as he's quite technical, then caused him to have the expertise so that when the city of Aspen needed that expertise, they looked to the county and hired him, engaged him temporarily as a consultant. Worked out really well.
Okay, now my understanding is when I talk to numerous people that are involved heavily with computers, and you were talking about being able to trust them for this sort of thing, not that computers can't be accurate, but the ability to mess with them is so suspect. Why are they still using them? Or why are they at least not in combination with the, human tally, paper, whatever. I mean, even the scanning machines are computerized of sorts. Mm-hmm. So.
Lisa, why don't you take that one?
You always give me the hard ones.
That's a compliment then.
Yeah, but sometimes I don't think as fast as Marilyn does on her feet.
Well, okay. One of the problems with the computers is that they are so complex in their system design that only at best one or two people are going to understand how the system works. That then makes it become a system where you are relying totally on having a trustworthy operator. You don't want that in an election system. And you're right, Melody. Some of this equipment is old technology, 1980s technology. And it's just not as accurate as it needs to be. And because we don't even have good testing mechanisms, we don't know that.
It looks to me like
in the case of the watch. Go ahead.
It looks to me like a lot of it's just recycled, and they're just buying them, selling them back and forth, and just found a way to just spend the money.
Yeah. Yes. And in fact, in the case of Swatch, the clerk bought a $54,000 machine. One had been sold a few years earlier from Garfield County to Jefferson County, exact same machine for $12,000, back when the market was much more robust. Now, I mean, the voting machine manufacturers are out to get every dollar they can, and they don't, because there's so few of them, they don't have much of a high quality standard. In the case of Swatch, you were talking about the security, the memory cards are the key to that election. The memory cards were left out for days and weeks without any security at all. Any of us could have walked up, picked up a memory card, switched it out.
Sure enough. And so, I mean, if you're worried about the ballots and you're not worried about the memory cards, I find that interesting.
Well, or even the laptop. I mean, one thing we ascertained is anybody could access that software without a password. Which
you
is
can
one
get
of the
into the tabulation system without a password.
Yeah. And when that's one of the conditions and one of the problems identified with that particular machine, the M650, is it's at high risk for security violations because anybody can access it without any trace, which is why it raised concerns when we started looking at the audit logs just in the last month in May, 6 months after the election. And we determined that there were, breaks in the sequence of the dates and the times. The machine itself isn't able to keep time accurately. There were, instances where it was reporting multiple incidents at the same time, but they were not necessarily in sequence. It's like the machine reset itself and went back, or somebody reset it, maybe in an attempt to write over the results. It clearly does show that there were ballots scanned on multiple occasions after November 2nd and after November 5th, despite the reports from the clerk's office that software wasn't used.
This is the just to have one question, should be an automatic process just to go through. And this idea that where you have to go through and keep arguing and coming up with more and more evidence, it just boggles the mind, because, you know, if this, first of all, who's this party that's selling these machines and recycling them? I mean, I would really start wanting to look into whoever this is. Is it the companies that are ES&S and former Diebold, Sequoia, Hart's, InterCivic? Who, you know, or is it a subsidiary? Who is it? I mean, if they're as bad a background as some of those companies are, then I would certainly like to know.
Well, in this case, the machine did come from ES&S, you know, which was formerly Diebold. And, you know, to follow up on Marilyn's comments, I mean, this is the problem. Mm-hmm. You know, this technology has removed people from self-government by one step, you know, and it is a violation of our constitutional right.
You know, I want to mention this is...
Go ahead, Teresa.
I want to mention this. It's kind of a silly little aside, but it caught my attention. I was up late one night trying to wade through numerous legal documents and wasn't paying attention. And the TV was going, and I was not, you know, paying attention to it. And I suddenly looked up when they started saying election machine. And it's like, huh? What's this? So I turned it up. And it was an episode of Numbers, an old episode that obviously aired in 2008. And it was the strangest thing to sit and watch that episode, because it basically went over everything that we're experiencing. And you know, of course, it's fiction. I understand that. But it was traced back to the voting machine manufacturers who had put... somehow rigged these election machines to give a certain result, and were working in concert with certain behind-the-scenes political people to do this and throw an election. And, you know, the strange thing was it ended up in a grand jury investigation. but there were so many points in that crazy... in that crazy little show that were so identical to what we went through, it just amazed me. And then later I read where ES&S has been, you know, called on the carpet several times in different states for, you know, substituting. For example, I think in one instance they were supposed to, you know, give a state certified machines, and they substituted uncertified machines. They substituted uncertified software. I mean, it just threw me right back to that show. It's like, what is going on? It was just really strange.
Well, if, you know, you have an election process that is complicated in its own right, and then you throw in machines that you rotate here and there, so that these guys have these humongous manuals that you got to try to figure these things out, let alone to already know its flaws. And this is just, you know, who is up to this process? And to, you know, I highly doubt that the clerks are the ones who would be involved in this. This is somebody way up the ladder here that's doing this. And this is why these machines shouldn't even be in the process. And then if you did a background check on the guys and how these organizations, you know, came about, you know, I wouldn't hire them. I mean, I'd run away from them. Marilyn, go ahead.
Go ahead. You might want to start following a brand new story. I don't think it's out yet. That starting tomorrow, actually, there's going to be a conversation of the Best Practices Engagement Commission, which includes several legislatures, of granting a single source contract to one voting system supplier in the state. And Secretary Gessler has made the informal recommendation that he wants to go in that direction, just to have one supplier And if you think about that, that's got a lot of implications for giving even more power to a voting machine supplier. So you might want to follow that as that gets argued by the various legislators and the clerks.
You're going to see this in so many different things going on in our world and governments particularly, but it's like the concessions are going to the one who the highest bidder these days. But you know, that wouldn't necessarily be such a bad thing. I mean, they usually try to sell it as, okay, it takes a lot of the problems out of there. But the problem is it's like going to the bottom of the ocean and picking up the worst things at the bottom. I mean, they're not looking for good, honest companies. When you start looking at the process, you're finding a lot of corruption coming out of there.
Well, giving a single source supply contract in almost any industry, in any situation, you're giving an awful lot of power to one company. And taking away the competitive aspects of quality, you know, I think is a pretty dangerous path. Yes, uniformity has its advantages, but I would really hate to see one company have that much control of our election process.
You know, one of the things that you run into in the background in some of these is, you know, say you have some of the workers, the programmers and people that work on these machines, and they leave because of improprieties or whatever. So they go join the other guys, and then the other guys get bought up by the guys that have taken it over, and then these guys are left, the honest guys can be left out of the fold, and the ones in there that they were trying to get away from now become the ones in control. And I'm not saying that that's always the case, but I'm starting to run into this more and more in this day and time. You know, of course, that's just my opinion, but you know, I've run into that in the insurance area that I've worked in, and so there's a point where when there's a lot of good people out there, but sometimes it's not the good ones that are in the power positions. So,
well, and I guess I keep coming back to the fact that it's so complex that even the really good people can make unintended mistakes that
right.
have huge ripple effects.
And that's
these,
why changing it. That's why changing it is a problem. If, you know, if they stayed with the same voting machines over and over in the same software, then somebody has a chance to, you know, master it. Or make, you know, find the errors and make improvements instead of keep changing it over and over again. So, again, anybody else? Did, you know, what's going on that you feel that, where is this going? Where do you feel like this should go? Where do we want to?
Well,
what's the next step?
I would like to jump in and, you know, I'm reminded of a story that was on a voting website that was actually reporting on Germany, you know, and they made a ruling that any method for counting votes that couldn't be verified by the public, which essentially meant that they ruled out the use of any of these tabulation machines or these optical scanners as part of their process of counting elections, because the public wasn't able to access the technology because it's too complicated. And, you know, I think that's a real challenge for the people in the state of Colorado. I mean, recently I was informed, you know, by someone who'd spoken to the state Republican Party chair, who said that it was illegal to hand count elections in the state of Colorado.
Really?
To the best of my knowledge, there's at least 5 and maybe as many as 7 counties out of 64 who still hand count their elections. And we've had a certain amount of resistance as we propose that as a possible solution for future elections in Sawatch County is to pass a resolution that all of our elections will be hand counted by citizen election judges and not by these black box voting machines. You know, and there's really some merit to at least considering it, because, you know, in the history of the state of Colorado, as we've looked at this, and Maryland's website is called glassballotbox.org, and the history of that is when Colorado became a state, every county clerk was required to purchase glass ballot boxes And the point of it was that then people could see what happened to their ballot. It was deposited in there. It was available to public scrutiny throughout that time. And interestingly enough, the county clerk did not have a key to this ballot box. It required two keys to be open, and one was held by the Republican Party, and one was held by the Democratic Party, or whatever their equivalence would have been in 1880. And the clerk could not access those ballots without securing the permission of both of the parties that were involved. And, you know, I think there is some merit to making the argument, especially in the case of Sawatch County, where we counted less than 2,500 ballots in this last election, to look at the option of hand counting and just eliminate the machines altogether. I mean, there's a certain amount of irony that she purchased this machine that can count 300 pages per minute. You know, we should have been done in 1 minute and had our results. And here we are in June, and a large number of people in this county are still questioning who won the election.
Right. And Melody, you were asking where all this is going. I think it would be interesting for Lisa and Teresa, who are there close to it, to talk about the efforts that are mounting and getting a good bit of momentum to recall the clerk.
No, there's an idea. Yeah, too. I mean, it's like you're peeling away the onion. If you, at least you get rid of these voting machines, we know that they still threw a lot of elections in the past. There's always been cheating in elections. I mean, Chicago's noted for it, and that was long before they ever, you know, came up with these computer programs. So, but go ahead, you guys, tell us what you have in mind here. Teresa? Lisa?
Well, I guess I can start out. I don't know how, and Lisa's a lot more knowledgeable on this than I am, but I do know that it seems like the only recourse left to Sawatch County is a recall election. And, you know, the grand jury did find that, you know, the clerk did fail to follow the provisions of the Secretary of State's office for, you know, recertifying the M650. She didn't follow those protocols, and so therefore, you know, there are some very, you know, troubling omissions on her part and commissions on her part here, and people should, you know, I think a lot of people we're hoping that, you know, there would be, you know, some resolution with the grand jury's, after the grand jury's, deliberations. But that not being the case, I think there may be even more of a thrust now for a recall to remedy the situation, since, you know, we aren't really any further along in figuring this out than we were before, but we still have someone in office who, you know, is not, you know, has not followed the, you know, the rules, and who is anxious to get this behind her, according to her comments to the grand jury in their report. And, you know, this is not something that can just be shoved, you know, back into the box without the box jumping around. I'm sorry, but, you know, people in this county want assurance that their votes do count. They want to see things improve, and that's not going to go away. And I think it's very naive for anybody to think that it will, because that's a very normal human reaction. You know, if you have any, you know, vested interest in this system, and believe your votes are fairly, you know, are cast in, you know, anonymously, and counted accordingly, then, you know, of course they're going to want to see, you know, some safeguards put in that's exactly what's going to happen. They don't have those right now, because we are still basically in the same place we were before all this happened. And to me, and that's just my personal opinion, that just is all the more reason to take things into, you know, the hands of the citizens and resolve the issue.
Well, I think for me, you know, looking at the report, the one thing that really stands out is that there are numerous instances in here where they document that not only did the clerk Myers violate the statutes, violate procedures. You know, she acknowledged her responsibility and her failure to fulfill that responsibility. And we're talking about someone who's an incumbent and has been in office for 4 years. And she apparently didn't take her responsibility going seriously into this election. And it has taken 2 court cases and a statewide grand jury investigation for her to move from the position of saying she ran a flawless election to admitting that she failed to fulfill her responsibilities. And that the people of Sawatch County would not be concerned about that, I mean, or would dismiss it as saying, well, that's the best you can expect out of your elected officials and your politicians, then we are all settling for the lowest common denominator. And the standards we're setting for the people who are responsible for millions of dollars, for making decisions that impact our daily lives, you know, land use decisions affecting our homes, what kind of development occurs in our county, and that we're not expecting them to operate to a higher standard, is just, to my mind, reprehensible.
Well, and I do want to add, from a press standpoint, especially, Marilyn's suit is especially important because she is going, you know, this was based on CORA requests that, you know, she gave to Clerk Myers that she never received. And that's a very important issue as far as I'm concerned in future elections and recall elections, anything that, you know, comes after this, unless that issue is resolved and resolved once and for all about whether people have the right to, you know, request these documents that they are guaranteed public access to, unless we get that cleared up, you know, we're not going to have any certainty about our elections or certainty about, you know, whether our rights have been violated in any, you know, matter that may, you know, rise. So, you know, I think that, you know, as long as Marilyn succeeds in her suit and if the Secretary of State succeeds in being able to view the ballots, you know, that allows the citizens, you know, that gives them even more impetus to move forward and try to, you know, make sense of what's happened and to make sure that in the future it doesn't happen again. But unless that issue is resolved and until it's resolved, we don't even have any ability to find out what happened to our elections, why it happened, or, you know, what happened to our votes. And if those requests had been granted, if there had been, you know, access guaranteed from the very beginning, there would have been evidence to go to the grand jury. There would have been evidence for citizens to examine. There would have been evidence for me to use to write articles on. And there was a very good reason, I believe, why we didn't get that information.
One of the things that, have you guys, any of you run across during this particular clerk's tenure, is there other people that have come forth that have talked about past elections and improprieties or mistakes, or are you getting any support or from other elections in the state where these people would like to come forth or will come forth, or are you just on it on your own?
Other than, you know, the information Marilyn's provided from her own election and her race for the mayor, we haven't heard from, you know, any other groups or organizations. As I've done research like on hand counting and talked to different county clerks, other members of canvas boards, you know, it's become a, you know, there's a certain, I think, level of support even among the clerks that they really think that we're doing the right thing by looking into this election because they feel this tremendous burden of responsibility, and it's an overwhelming job for them in many instances. And to have, you know, the support working together cooperatively with their citizens would be something that they would welcome. But, you know, in our instance, that has never been the position of the clerk. Instead, she's chosen to take an adversarial position. And
that's,
you know,
not the only one I've seen that way either. I've seen
That's come across in any of the testimony she's given in these cases. It even came across in the report where, you know, the grand jury's, you know, states they find it unlikely that if she intended to tamper with the election, she'd appoint four adversaries, you know, in addition to the two already existing Canvas board members, which just affirms that, you know, I mean, we should be able to arrive at these conclusions cooperatively.
Yeah, you would think that they, that, you know, people that are involved in this process would be more than happy to, you know, to be open things up and be, have a, like you said, a, you know, a process where it's transparent. But this is what you're running into is what I've seen over and over again. Not necessarily the case, but.
Well, let me just.
Okay, Marilyn, go ahead, and then Therese.
You were asking about whether there were people who had spoken up who had experience with past elections. Actually, just the past election, the August primary that happened before the November general election, there were two very serious complaints filed with the Secretary of State. They're in Sawatch on, but one by each party. The Democrats filed, or a Democratic candidate filed, and the Republican chair filed a complaint with the Secretary of State. And sadly, Melody, no investigation was done on that until after the general election. So some of the same problems occurred again.
Really? Now, okay, Teresa?
Yeah, let me just add to what Marilyn said. And I think she sent me this information, actually, but I also found some other things from other sources. But I believe it was Lake, Chaffee, and Park counties that also had complaints about their primaries and filed complaints with the Secretary of State's office. Now, oddly enough, those were resolved before their general elections, but not ours. Now, why that was the case, I have no idea. But other complaints have been filed, I believe now, and I don't know whether they're thinking of filing them or they've already filed them. There's, I think, some kind of controversy on sheriff's behavior or election or something going on. I believe it's in Teller County. There's a lot of problems going on in the Mont Rose area in Gunnison County, and in Huerfano County. There is a huge controversy going on over there in about their municipal elections and some of the problems they're having over there. So it's by no means limited to, you know, what is going on here, and complaints have been made besides our own, but it has just seemed to me from the beginning like our county was handled differently for some reason than other counties, and I'm not sure what the reasoning was behind that and why the clerk here was allowed to delay any response on the primary complaints until after the general election. That seems very strange to me.
Well, it'd be also interesting to, you know, if you dug deeper into a lot of these cases as to, you know, where, you know, what was really going on and how things were resolved. I mean, it doesn't necessarily, you know, just because they go away doesn't necessarily mean they were handled correctly. And so
boy, that is right, Melody. And a lot of times what it means is that the advocates ran out of money to continue to pursue that. I can't tell you how many cases I know of where, you know, the stone walls were built so high that finally the case just disappeared because nobody could afford to continue to pursue it. And I think that is an unfortunate lesson we've learned in Sawatch, that when things go wrong like this, you just about have to go running into the court within about 10 days of the election, because otherwise you lose your opportunities, and it costs a lot of money. Unfortunately, it is a game that only the well-funded can play, and it's very, very unfair.
And it's not at all uncommon for them to just wear people down, and then those that continue on and keep fighting for the cause end up looking, you know, people start looking at them like, oh, this is sour grapes or whatever. And so they lose the support from the public because they have to keep going on and on and on because they can't get it resolved. And so this, I still have to commend you guys because I just wish that it was gaining more momentum for you from other counties that people, you know, see the similarities in the process, and that you start getting other candidates or other people that, you know, been filing these complaints. Are you allowed to contact any of these complaint people at all, or find out what happened with their cases?
Oh, sure. Any of the complaints filed with the Secretary of State are public record.
Okay, good.
Luckily we still live in enough of a free society that we can contact anybody we want to. Now, the grand jury testimony and the proceedings, now that, of course, is confidential. And so we don't know a lot about that, but we certainly know about complaints filed all over the state. There needs to be more organization.
What, Teresa?
Oh, no, I wanted to add here, and it was just something that I heard recently that surprised me. You know, this legal business, they know they can, you know, put you in a box legally. I was talking to an attorney here not long ago who said that in the past, their average caseload a month was about nine new customers. Now, they are up to 30 a month with different lawsuits, and she said that it is literally impossible to take new clients or keep up with the ones you have, given that kind of a increased caseload. So not only are you fighting the fact that you may not have any money to file a lawsuit, you're having a terrible time finding anybody who's even able to take these lawsuits. And, of course, the further afield you go, the more money you're going to pay. It goes into this huge vicious circle where, you know, you can't do anything. And you know, there's always, I suppose, the possibility of going pro se, but, you know, the old saying is only a fool has, you know, himself or a lawyer. But, you know, the thing of it is the Bar Association actually, you know, is not totally in favor of people going pro se. And there's not, if you want to, you can, but there's not a whole lot of information on how to do it. Most people aren't willing to do it. So, I mean, really for legal, you know, legal options are so limited in so many different ways that not only can they wear you down by there's a lot of people that, you know, unless you fork out really, really big bucks, you can't even get them to take the case now.
It's
a mess all the way around.
So it sounds like you almost need an arbitration situation, but then maybe that's what the Attorney General is supposed to be, or?
Well, that's a good point, Melody. In many states, they have a state election commission. And when there are problems at a county's level or even a city level, that they are taken to the state election commission. We have no such commission. And, you know, you're forced to go to the district attorney or the AG. And they tend to view their mission as prosecuting, you know, criminal intent where there is a, you know, provable harm, that sort of thing. Well, that leaves out an awful lot of what goes wrong in elections. So I think that we probably in Colorado need something like an election commission, and we certainly need more teeth in the enforcement provisions in the law for the Secretary of State. Because there's just a huge gap right now with a lot that some election officials are getting away with, and there's no way to hold them accountable other than perhaps through recall elections, which I hope that the momentum continues to take hold in Sawatch County. It's about time for the petition to be created, and now that the clerk's been in office 6 months, just about, she is eligible for recall. And so that would be the one way for the people to hold her accountable.
How do they? Who handles the recall election?
Well, unfortunately, according to statute, once the citizens have circulated a petition and collected their signatures, they submit it to the county clerk for verification. Before they submit it to the county commissioners, who will then call for the recall election. So.
Here we go.
It may be the same story all over again.
But I think there would be so many people watching this that's not going to happen. If the citizens create an adequate petition there, I have a feeling it will be on the ballot.
Well, and it'll be interesting because, you know, in our most recent June Crestone Eagle, there was a half-page ad taken out by one of the county commissioners, Linda Joseph, advocating, asking people to support the elected officials, and there were about 170 signatures to support our elected officials by opposing the recall election of Linda Joseph and Melinda Myers. So, you know, we realize we have some huge obstacles to overcome because our county commissioner has already come out against our constitutional right to ask for a recall of a public official. And she's the one who's going to be making the decision, one of three decision makers, making a decision about whether or not we can call for a recall election.
Well, why would they, if they legitimately won, why would they care? You know, if they really felt that they deserved and were voted in, why are they worried about, you know, I mean, maybe I'm misunderstanding this process. So explain to me, when they're recalling, you get to vote as to whether you recall them or not, right?
Well, yeah, you have to collect a certain number of signatures.
Okay.
The official that you're recalling has the right to be on the ballot, or they can choose to resign at that point. And then anybody who collects a certain number of signatures, and I forget the numbers, and I think it varies according to what race it is and what party you are and how many people ran in the last election, can then petition to be on the ballot to be considered as a candidate for this, and it, what essentially is a new election. So, you know, this all raises the question of, you know, why did we have to go to the point of the Secretary of State suing the county clerk to review an election, which the statutes indicate that he is the chief election official in the state of Colorado. What did Clerk Myers and Linda Joseph know that they would, you know, start a preemptive strike encouraging people not to sign a recall petition and to actually oppose a recall? I mean, what do they think we're going to uncover if we end up doing a hand review of this election? And these are the questions that the people who are questioning the election are asking themselves. What does our county clerk have to hide?
Okay, now, this may sound silly, but, the attorney general is, who is it, his name?
John Suthers.
Okay, and then but often in this process is the SOS, the Secretary of State, right?
Right.
Okay, so right. Is it the Secretary of State or the I guess I'm a little bit lost in the process of who, it's the Secretary of State that's over this process then?
The Secretary of State is considered the chief election official in the state of Colorado.
Okay, and the Attorney General, their duty is to prosecute in a criminal manner only.
Right.
Okay.
Well, and they also provide consumer protection against fraud or, you know, so they're meant to be citizens' advocates.
So the Attorney General should be the citizens' advocate in case there was election fraud?
Yes.
Okay.
One would think so.
Yes, as well as the Secretary of State also has the duty to enforce the election code. So while we ought to be able to look to the SOS, the Secretary of State, for the routine oversight, the enforcement of the code, we are to look to the district attorneys and the attorney general for prosecution of criminal acts. And so both agencies have been involved here. And the judicial branch has been involved as well and will continue to be, because as Lisa and Teresa have pointed out, there are two suits pending right now. One, the Secretary of State has sued Melinda Myers, the clerk, because she has refused to allow him to do a review of this election. So going back to Lisa's question, what what do these elected officials have to be concerned about? Why would they not welcome the Secretary of State to come in and audit the election? And instead, they have forced him to file litigation to come in and audit, when he clearly has the authority under the law to do an audit.
So is it has something to do with the longer you drag the your feet, the...
That would be a conspiracy.
Sounds like it to me. And the problem is it runs up the cost for the citizens so much. Now, I'm suing the clerk over open records requests. There are 51 records that she has absolutely refused to make public. And it has really obstructed our ability to go in and verify the election ourselves. And so I have had to sue her in the state court over Open Records Act, and that suit is pending and will continue to go on for a few months. And we expect that the court will eventually force her to turn over the standard public records, that they're just not even a reasonable argument. So what we've seen is Clerk Myers has put up the legal defenses, which will cost the county a tremendous amount of legal fees. And in fact, while they're having to pay their lawyer right now, ultimately, when I win this case, the attorney's fees, unfortunately, or fortunately for me, but unfortunately for the taxpayers there, will be the obligation. My attorney's fees will be the obligation of the county. For withholding the documents. And this is going to be a ridiculously expensive battle that the citizens should not have to fund.
Now, again, this is a situation where the longer you drag your feet, the more you can mess with the documents, or they disappear as well. I mean, So, right, and it seems like some of these things are cropping up in this particular instance as well, right?
Yes.
Unfortunately, yes. I've been there trying to examine documents, and more times than not, I get the answer, oh, we didn't save that. Oh, sorry, we can't find that. Oh, sorry, we can only find half of that report.
And in some of this, there's videotapes and the like, too, that are missing, right? If I'm not mistaken, things that should have been...
Unfortunately, you are not mistaken. Teresa asked, as a member of the press, she put in an open records request on November the 15th, and she asked for all of the videotapes for the prior 2 weeks and continuing, because at that point the Secretary of State was there doing elections work, and that continued off that week. Anyway, by the time that she went back later in the week to pick up her records, that she had formally asked for, all the tapes had been destroyed, other than a spare copy that had been left from the first week. But there was no tape of week two and week three activities for the election, and the law requires that they be kept for 25 months. They had not even been kept for 10 days.
Okay, now is this approached in any of the proceedings of criminal negligence or anything along this line? That's not considered.
I have put it in all of my complaints, and Lisa and Teresa, I haven't had time to read the full report yet, but I did not see it in the Attorney General's report. Was it there? Nope.
I think it was mentioned briefly along the same lines as, in the same section where they talked about her failure, although it was her responsibility to provide the security or to meet the security measures for the M650, and they did reference, that for the period of November 2nd through the 5th, they never saw, the clerk showing up but they totally don't look at the fact that there aren't sufficient video records to know if the clerk intervened or used this machine or used the software or was handling the ballots, because it was such a woefully
inadequate video system. I mean, it didn't even.
Right. Well, I was noticing.
All
I was,
the ballots were stored.
Well, I was noticing in the picture they had the wrong angle on the guy messing with the computer.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. Well, and it should be noted that, you know, that a person, one person who had a chance to review these tapes did make the comment that there seemed to be deliberate gaps in the tapes, even the ones, the few that we have, that some things seem to have been taken out. And this is a person who would know, you know, whether that was the case or not. So, you know, I mean, even in the ones we have, we don't know that we have everything.
Can you imagine if
Melody,
you...
One,
go ahead.
I was just going to say one thing that we have not tied together for you and your listeners. We talked about the M650 and the memory cards and all of that having been decertified some years ago because it was such an such a vulnerable system. Well, one of the provisions that was put in the rule for the Secretary of State was that video surveillance tapes have to be going 60 days before the election and all the way through the election. Anytime the machines, the software, et cetera, are being used, it was put in partially to try to mitigate this huge system vulnerability, the security vulnerability in this and other systems. So essentially, they didn't follow any of the rules, and then they essentially blacked out the videotape at the same time. So even any attempt at mitigation was obliterated here.
Yeah, even going back to Nixon's era, you know, these blips and these tapes. I mean, we get to pay for this equipment, but it never works when we need it. So,
well, there's the added complication that, you know, when we started looking at the audit logs and watching the activity, you know, that was reported on the M650 and on the laptop, because the M650 can't keep time accurately. We have no way to correlate it with the time clock that's on the security tapes from November 2nd to the 5th. So we at best can guess, well, when it says November 4th to 2 a.m., are they really talking about November 4th, 2 a.m., or is this later in the day on Friday, you know, on November 5th? Or, you know, and all we can do is consistently document that the time span got worse. You know, by the time the Canvas board used the machine on November 29th, it was like 6 days behind. According to the M650, and that was the first time that people were documenting on the reports that the time was inaccurate, because none of the election judges or the counting judges bothered to document. I mean, even the election day reports are all printed showing November 1st.
When the election was November 2nd. And Melody, that might not seem like a big deal until you begin to think about it's your audit log that is what Lisa's talking about. And so if you see all this activity, it's taking place at a time that you can't tell when it occurred, you can't then tell your authorized activity from the unauthorized activity. There's a timestamp there for a reason.
You can't go back and look at the security tapes and correlate a time clock and determine who was accessing the software at that point.
Right. So
who was accessing the machine at that point? Who was present and who wasn't present? Because there's no correlation between the times. So it just adds to more questions rather than resolving any of the questions.
I know I sound like I've jumped to conclusions, but when you start doing enough of these interviews and you start reading or doing your research, you just get so kind of cynical in the process of realizing that, you know, where is the accountability here? And why is it that we have to continue to keep somebody hired that if you'd hired them to build your house and had that kind of mistakes, you'd have fired them. So why do we have to keep these people in here when these, you know, oh, sorry, it wasn't my fault type of thing. Well, those things would start being minimal if people saw there was somebody being held accountable.
Well, I think that's where the recall effort can send a really strong message, not only to the clerk, but to the citizens of Sawatch and to other elected officials of all sorts across the state.
if the Citizens of the Watch come in and do this recall election like they have the momentum to do, it will send a strong message, because elected officials are rarely recalled. But this is a case where, you know, there are dozens of documented, unquestioned violations of law, violations of duty, and violations of ethics. And, you know, I think we have an unusual opportunity here, Melody, to send a message to those elected officials.
Okay, so but after today you had the grand jury thing, so where is the opportunity here to really take this a step further, since this isn't necessarily a step forward?
Well, again, I would say, one, the recall opportunity. There's nothing standing in the way of that. Secondly, Secretary of State has not yet started their investigation, and they are holding complaints until today, until the completion of this AG's report. So the citizens can really push on the Secretary of State to now do a thorough review with evidence. Let's don't just deal with the hearsay. Let's don't just deal with testimony like the grand jury had to do. Let's deal with real evidence so the Secretary of State can do something. And then we are working on the court proceedings as well. And at that point, when we're able to get all the access to the information we need, the citizens then can go verify the election and prove, hopefully, prove whatever we need to prove in terms of whether, you know, whether the results were right and what other problems took place. So there are still many, many actions that can be taken. We've just got to make sure that we don't get that the citizens don't get worn out in the process and stop, because it's a long, tough process.
Right, and that's where they stand to have the advantage. If you know, you don't have a lot of people behind you, do you have a lot of people behind you?
Well, I think we won't know that, you know, until we work further in our communities. I mean, I think the issue is really about, you know, educating the constituency, informing them of their rights, you know, and encouraging them to organize, step in, you know, like they did in the recent Aspen election, and volunteer to be election judges and be part of the process, and to keep asking questions. And, you know, that's going to take, it'll be a huge turnaround, because in Sawatch County, and I think this is really no different than any other county in the state of Colorado or maybe across the nation, you're not necessarily encouraged to ask questions. In fact, you're faulted and criticized if you do. But, you know, recent testimony, May 31st, you know, then the summarizing arguments or the closing arguments by the county attorney, he said that, you know, we have the right to question authority. He was using his example that why the clerk was defying the Secretary of State, that we don't live in a third world country, that this is not Gaddafi, and that she has the right to question authority. Well, I would turn that around and say that to my own elected officials here in Sawatch County. Question authority, and guess who's the authority now?
That's right. I mean, it's far from hopeless, Melody, in Sawatch, particularly because it has the attention of all of the state election officials. The word Sawatch, hey, people can now spell it and pronounce it all across the state, because, and they know that we have an unresolved situation. Yeah, the Attorney General's report, the grand jury report, while it contains some disappointments, it certainly is a platform from which to build, because they certainly did not claim that this election was problem free, and they did acknowledge the violations of law. They just were not aware of the extent of them. And that's the next step, to use this to make the people much more aware.
Well, you know, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing if I really thought I was totally hopeless. But I do get frustrated when I see people doing the same things over and over again, expecting a different outcome. And
well, you know, that's the definition of insanity.
Yes, yes. That's why I said it. So this is why just trying to identify what hasn't worked and why we need to, you know, step outside the box and start, you know, start thinking outside the box and doing some things that might throw some of these make them lose their bearings if we can, you know, start coming in with some answers and some way to deal with these issues that, hasn't been approached, that we already know they already have, lame excuses for and, stonewall us, you know, so. But I know that, you know, if we keep running candidates and keep paying for these elections and supporting these candidates and still have these, you know, computers that obviously don't function, and they keep recycling them, and you know, I just have to say, let's start looking at one thing here particularly, and then, but you can't. You have to look at all avenues, right?
Absolutely, you do, and it has to be the citizens. This is one of those grassroots kind of functions. We have to remember that elections are not to be government functions. They're supposed to be our functions. And I think the greatest impact we can have is involving more citizens in the oversight process.
Yeah, and
just awareness alone. I mean, I don't think even if nobody lifted a finger to do one more thing about this election in Sawatch, I don't think that elections will be the same in Sawatch in the future, in that there will be so much more heightened awareness. And I believe people will want to volunteer as judges, and little things will not get by them next time.
Well, ladies, I want to commend all of you for hanging in there and sticking with this process, because it's definitely going to take people like you standing up and speaking out and keeping it in the public purview and making sure that we hold these officials accountable and just not stop, because this is the only way it's obviously going to get done. And I want to thank you for coming on the program. And any closing comments by you? Any more, Lisa?
Well, thank you for keeping it in front of your public.
Well, that's I'm trying. Lisa, anything?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I want to thank you, Melody, for inviting us to come on. I think this is a really important issue. I think that people need to, you know, realize and educate themselves. I mean, you know, I agree with Marilyn's comments. I mean, people in Sawatch County now know what a canvas board is. They might even have some idea of the responsibility. I think they're even beginning to see, you know, that, you know, they have to have other criteria than how well they like a person as to how they choose to vote for a person who's running for a public office. So some understanding of the responsibilities of elected officials and how important it is to have people who have, you know, enough integrity and interest, who are doing it for public service and not just because it's a job or because it's a self-serving, you know, agenda. You know, it gives me a position of power in my community. And so I think people will have a different set of criteria to evaluate as we move into the next election where, you know, we're voting for two county commissioners.
And Teresa?
Melody, I want to thank you as a fellow media member. You know, I think your radio show has probably helped people understand, you know, things that they never would have been able to understand otherwise. In fact, I know it has, and I thank you. I know this is a hard job. I've really, you know, this has really been a difficult go, but I'm ready to run the distance and continue, because I think it's that important. If we don't continue to hold people accountable and to you know, tweak them when they're not accountable and to tell them that we expect better of them, there's never going to be any standard set. And I think it's important we all go forward and just continue to keep the spotlight right on them there.
Yes, and the public does have to get involved. When we sit back and lay back, I guarantee almost every time that you're going to have problems, whether you want to face it or not. Those problems just kind of snowball when we lay back. So if we don't become active, then somebody else is going to take over for us, and it's usually it fits their agenda, not ours. So
that's right.
Amen.
All right. I want to thank all of you ladies, and I want to say good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Melody.
Okay, that has been Lisa Syriax, Teresa Benz, and Marilyn Marks, and they're representing the people of Sawatch County, and hopefully there will be something positive come out of this, not just for their county, but for other counties in this state.